The Ricky Gervais Show on Guardian Unlimited.
Hello, welcome to another podcast of The Ricky Gervais Show with me, Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant, hello, alright, and of course, Carl Pilkington.
Right. Rick, you'll be pleased to know we've already had some responses. You remember last week I mentioned that you can email us on podcast@rickygervais.com if you've got anything for Carl or you or I, and Simon and Mark have already emailed us in this link to something that was on the BBC News website. I don't know if you're familiar with this, but it's a remarkable story. Well, I'll give you the headline straight away and you can draw your own conclusion. Lion mutilates 42 midgets in Cambodian ring fight. That's just the headline.
That's a hell of a headline. That makes me want to know more about the story. Well, that's what a headline should do.
I think we'd all read the news. We'd all take more interest in the news if they could open the, you know, BBC News at 6 o'clock every night. Bong. Lion mutilates 42 midgets in Cambodian ring fight. Bong. We'd definitely pay more attention. So this is the story. It's just extraordinary. Spectators cheered as entire Cambodian midget fighting league squared off against African lion.
Now, I didn't even know there was a Cambodian midget fighting league.
You're an ignoramus. Everyone, of course, has heard of the CMFL, which is genuinely what it's known as in Cambodia. Now, like you, I don't know who the Cambodian midget fighting league are normally fighting. I don't know what tournaments.
I assume it's each other.
Well, I assume each other.
It's midget fighting then.
Yeah, well, let me just give you more information and then we can dissect it afterwards. Tickets have been sold out 3 weeks before the much anticipated fight. The fight was organised when an angry fan contested Yang Shimoni, president of the CMFL, claiming that one lion could defeat his entire league of 42 fighters.
So this bloke is going to the president and going, I reckon a lion could get all your midgets.
I reckon he could destroy all of your 42 midget fighters. Now, apparently, Shimoni, the president of the CMFL, he takes great pride in the league, and he's conveyed in a recent advertising campaign that his midgets will take on anything, man, beast, or machine. Now, I don't know what kind of machine, again, midgets are fighting.
But then the midgets have a say in
it. A washing machine.
The midgets are going, all right, keep it down. they won't fight anything. Well, we won't fight anything. We'll fight each other. We're sort of like equally matched.
You'll fight a beast or a machine.
No. I'll fight another midget. I will fight any midget. When I said I'll take on anything, I meant another midget.
Machines.
So this bloke goes, I reckon a lion could take on your midgets. He goes, rubbish.
Yes. And that is why an African lion was shipped in especially for the event, which took place a couple of Saturdays ago, in the city's Colosseum. I mean, they've got a Colosseum, Rick, which is already brilliant.
So hold on, this is sanctioned by the city?
Well, the Cambodian government allowed the fight to take place under the condition that they receive a 50% commission on each ticket sold, and that no cameras would be allowed in the arena. We'll take 50%, but, you know, for dignity's sake, there's no cameras. You know, we don't want to make this into a
circus. Spectacle.
Yeah.
No. It's just lion versus midget, but,
exactly.
You know.
Well, 42. Never forget, there was 42 midgets. Now, this is the tragedy element, and this is why we shouldn't be laughing, because the fight was ended.
Don't tell me the lion gets hurt.
Well, the fight was ended, Rick, after only 12 minutes, after which 28 of the midget fighters were declared dead.
Right.
While the other 14 suffered severe injuries, including broken bones, lost limbs, and they were basically unable to fight.
But the lion wasn't hurt?
It would have seemed that the lion was okay.
Oh, good. Because the lion had no choice in this.
No.
See, that's the... I love it when a human takes on a beast and comes unstuck. Because that lion was scared and defending itself. Those little midgets were loving it. They wanted to go in.
What do you mean they were loving it? You don't know that.
Well, why would they do it?
Well, what I find out... Well, I'm worried, you see. I don't know the ins and outs of this. I wonder if they were fighting against their will. I got the horrible feeling, because with all due respect to any midgets listening, they must be fairly easy to round up. You could probably corral some midgets fairly easily. You know, you generally need some regular full-size people, and it'd be easy to grab some midgets and take them away, whisk them away, put them in a cage.
No, because... No, because they don't, because a lot of them stand on each other's shoulders and wear a long coat.
Sure, but...
And a hat, and you go, oh, that's not a midget. No, let him go.
Well, those ones are getting away with it. They're fine. They're wandering around. You know, fine. Because who's voluntarily going to join the Cambodian Midget Fighting League?
But midgets who want a bit of action, who want to fight other midgets. They're allowed, they want to fight. They can't get in real boxing matches because the feathers are too big for them. But they can go, well, I'll tell you what, let's have our own little fighting league, right?
But if I was on the Cambodian Midget Fighting League, I'd be livid. I'd be thinking to myself, well, I can't believe I listened to my agent and he's put me up fighting a lion. I mean, I should have just taken Panto in Grimsby. I can't believe that
I can't believe it. But hold on, though.
I thought I...
It's... Are they all really midgets, or are they lumping in dwarves with them?
It's not specified, Rick, but
but that annoys me when people say, oh, look at these midgets, and I go, hold on, no, they're making up the numbers of a couple of dwarves there. That's clearly only 39 midgets and 3 dwarves.
Sure.
Well, that's amazing.
Carl, what are your thoughts instantly? I mean, you're bound to have a take on that.
Whose side am I meant to be on there?
What?
Well, by
well, I'd
the story,
be on,
you're
I'd be on the lion side. I'd never go to a bullfight, but I love it when I see a matador gored to death. Because, again, the bull doesn't want to get in that ring and fight a bloke with swords, okay? So I love it. I think it's disgusting. And when someone says, a midget versus lion, I'm thinking, well, it's okay if the lion wins, to be honest, because they haven't got a choice. So, and I hate it when people go, oh, I went to a bullfight when I was in Spain, but it's the tradition, isn't it? Ah, oh, well, there's loads of traditions that we don't adhere to anymore. Mm. So, I say it shouldn't have happened, of course, but if it happens, I'm glad the lion isn't hurt.
See, what's annoying me is I've sent money to Cambodia because apparently they're hungry and I haven't got any energy. So what's going on?
Well, it's much easier to fill up a midget than it is a regular Cambodian. You know, they're
happy feel
on
like
a Mars bar.
I'm being cheated a bit.
You were conned before with a charity, weren't you?
Well, a few times, yeah.
Well, what about the old lady? What was that?
I got stopped, and it's like, they sort of drag you in by saying, have you got a gran? And I said, no, they died and that. It's like, oh, did they die of the cold? No, she's, you know, ill, what have you, just old age. He said, well, what happens with a lot of people's grands is they die in the cold, right? So I was like, oh, that's bad, isn't it? Anyway, so she's chatting, and she's showing me pictures of these old women who look cold, right? Saying, look at her, that's Edna. You know, she's got no family, she can't pay the bills and all that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh, yeah. Anyway, it goes on for about 15 minutes, and you feel bad. You give them your bank details, right? And what happens is, every couple of months, you get a letter from Edna. Well, it's not from her, it's typed up and what have you. But there's a picture of Edna, right? And it's saying, oh, this December, you know, Edna's going to be extra cold. It's cold outside, she can't afford to pay the heat and what have you.
Yeah.
Keep going, right? So you keep paying every month, like, £5, whatever. Get another letter, a few months later, right? Edna's sat there, she's got a tan.
What do you mean she's got a tan?
Well, when they said, you know, she's cold, I thought they meant for the heating, not to send her on holiday for a month. She sat there with a tan, I'm not joking.
Are you sure it wasn't just a sort of a slight problem in the printing?
No, definitely. Sure it wasn't well happy.
Sure it wasn't liver failure.
This is a terrible thing to say, but when I see those people approaching now with the clipboards on the street,
yeah.
I always get my mobile phone out and pretend
to
have a conversation.
I've done that
one. The number of fake conversations I've had walking past them there.
Well, I felt sorry for them, right, because I thought, you know, to be fair, I've got about 10 standing orders where I felt sorry from a court, right, I thought, they're doing a good deed, the least I can do. I find out they're on about £8 an hour.
Are they?
Yeah.
They're not just doing it out of the kindness of their heart.
Well, I don't want to lie.
I thought they were volunteers. I thought that was at least why I should feel guilty. If they're getting paid to do it.
I don't know, that could be wrong.
I think they do.
What?
Either they get paid and that.
Well, if someone knows, maybe
podcast@rickygervais.com is how you can get in touch with us. Because if you know if these guys are getting fleecing us twice.
You know, I heard something. Carl thinks that. You think they're not.
I don't know anything, but anything that will allow me
but
to.
But let's find out, because, you know, I don't want to slag them off, because they're obviously doing a good thing. So we find this out. It's, you know, this is an educational show.
I tell you what, though, right? Because we've talked about homeless people before and that. And I walked past one the other day. He's always cheerful, right? But don't you think, right, if you had a company, it's worth taking them on? Because they never have a lie-in.
Brilliant.
I'm finding it quite exhausting now, because a lot of the homeless I've encountered recently, they don't even now, they're not even after my money. They're just looking for conversation. While I was walking along the other day, and I don't know what you're supposed to say to this, we were both walking, happened to be both passing a Chinese restaurant, he glanced in, he looked back around at me, he went, woman in there with 3 phones, 3 mobile phones, why does she need 3 mobile phones?
Mm.
Got nothing to say to that, got no opinion. Got absolutely no opinion of it. And I was thinking, what's going to have, you know, and you know that thing when you sort of, suddenly you got across the road conveniently to just get out of it. But, and there's another mad woman who started going, she was walking past me, she went, do you want to come to my church? I went, no, I don't believe in God. She went, do you believe in God? Oh, 20 minutes. Conversation, 20 minutes. It was unbelievable. I got to a point where I was so angry with her, I was shouting out from across the other side of the room. I was the one who sounded like a nutter, going, there isn't a God!
You see, when does it become, like, bad to avoid people like that? Do you know what I mean? Because some people say you shouldn't, you know, that they're people like us who just had a bit of bad luck.
Of course they are.
Yeah, I know, but I remember one on our estate, right? And she was a bit, what's the word that you can use? Because I don't want to offend anyone. But I'd say, sort of mental homeless. Is that a term?
That's the official term.
I think that is the...
That is the new official term. It's mental homeless-itis.
Right, so she lived on the estate and what have you, and she aged...
How was she homeless if she lived on the estate?
Well, she sort of decided to stay around there, because I think on the estate spoke to her more than people who had money. Do you know what I mean?
Really? I was going to say, why would she choose an estate to not to live in, as opposed to, a walled... sort of lovely community.
Yeah.
Why not go to St John's Wood or?
Yeah. Well, I'd hang around in maybe say the Maze in Hampton Court.
Yeah, exactly.
No one's expecting to see a homeless person as they're trying to find their way around. Well, imagine the cash you'd make during the summer.
The rich sort of Victorians used to keep sort of homeless in there as a little folly, and they used to pay them at the end if they stayed there for like 3 years.
What do you mean? Would they pay?
It was fashionable to have a little homeless little hobbit in your outhouse. Seriously.
And what did they have to do anything for their money? Run, dance,
no, they just
fight
had to
tigers?
Be there. No, they had to be there when they brought around. They go, look, that's our little cat weasel fella
right.
living in our folly.
Yeah.
And then they got money, you know, at the end of it. There's just like really rich sort of Victorians and stuff.
That's a great idea. They should definitely bring that back. Because, you see, I would give a lot more to shelter and those kind of charities if I could have a homeless guy come and do my bidding. I could make him
and
dance.
And they had really long beards and rags.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I could just make them do dances for me or, you know...
And he was somewhat magical, possibly. That
yeah,
would go,
he wasn't
riddle
too
me
sure.
Thief, riddle me do. What is my name and who are you?
Exactly.
And then,
So this mental
There's a little idea for shelter if anyone's listening.
Yeah. Mental homeless woman on the estate. And what she used to do... Right, she acted quite normal, and she used to always push like a pram around with her, right? And everyone was like, she can't have a kid, can she? Right? And she was dead happy every day, she was up and down, walking up and down the road. Anyway, one day she got a walk past, right? Turned round and looked in the pram. There's a bucket with a face on it.
The Ricky Gervais Show on Guardian Unlimited.
Rick, we've had an email here from a bloke. I think you're going to respect him, because I think you can tell straight away from his name that he's the kind of guy you'd want to hang out with.
Go on.
I know how much you love fun people.
Yeah.
Well, Paul, and he's calling himself this, Paul the Party Animal Parker, he's emailed in. He's given himself that moniker.
I assume they're in sort of like quote marks,
they're
aren't
in,
they?
In speech marks, yeah. Paul the Party Animal Parker.
And he's calling himself that.
Yeah.
That I can't wait.
When you picture him, what are you thinking?
Milhouse.
Right, okay.
I think he looks like Milhouse from The Simpsons.
Yeah.
He's
working in sort of an IT department, maybe?
Yeah,
for
possibly.
A large organisation?
Oh, I think he might still be at school.
Okay, right, yeah.
Yeah, I think.
And this is the vital question. Do you believe him to be a party animal?
I believe him to be a party animal is as much as a man with a long scarf that his mum knitted him to look like... Doctor Who can be a party animal,
yeah.
Yes.
Do you think that when people are organising parties at his school, they're thinking the first person they've got on the list and make sure he's guaranteed
you've got to take Paul the party animal.
Because
I bet he's got millions of affectations. I bet he wants to be known as the one that carries around a biscuit tin.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the scarf.
He's the guy who only ever wears bowling shoes.
It's his thing.
It's his thing. He's a little bit kooky, it's his thing. But thank you very much indeed for your contribution. And it is fairly interesting what he sent in. He's found this on the web. I don't know why he's felt an affinity with this particular inventor. But anyway, there's a man, a Serbian man, who has invented a sex machine for women. And he's appealing to Western women to test his device.
Mm.
He's from a town in, as I say, in Serbia. I guess Serbia? I guess that's right. Is that right?
Well, I don't know. What does it say?
Well, it says a Serbian man. Is it called Serbia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was all the Croatia-Serbia thing?
Well, it doesn't matter now, does it?
Okay. It doesn't matter now. It does to them. Otherwise they fought for nothing. What the hell do we know about world events? I mean, how long did that go on for? Months,
I don't know. If they're inventing new countries, they can't expect me to keep up with current trends, can we?
Anyway, this Serbian man has invented a sex machine for women, and he can't find any Serbian women to try it out, so he's looking now for Western women. He's taken out a patent on the ultimate sex machine. It runs on a 390-volt electric engine, simulates sex, and has a 7.5-inch artificial penis. He said, my sex machine has an artificial penis that can make up to 180 moves in a minute. Now, I don't even know what that means. 180 moves? What? I mean, there's only really...
Well, in and out,
it's
I imagine.
It's largely the function. Unless I've been doing it
what
wrong.
Is, what, he's
all
done.
These
what he's done is he's put a dildo on a Black & Decker.
A man can only manage the intensity of movement for about 5 seconds normally, but this machine can do it for as long as the woman wants. But anyway, so he's looking for a woman who will test this out. But what I love, as soon as I read this, I was thinking, it's just imagining there going, oh, thanks for coming in, yeah, okay. So there's, what's going to happen is there's a penis that's going to pop out from here, and it's going to have sex with you. I'm going to stand behind the machine. I've got to stand behind here, there's a lot of dials and stuff, but I don't want to bore you in.
Well, why do you have to stand behind it? Just...
I can't, it's technical stuff, but I've got to be behind the machine.
But there's no penis on the robot at the moment, it's just
no,
a hole.
No, don't worry, what will happen is, I'll switch the machine on, I'll go behind, and then a penis will appear.
Will it be like a metal-looking penis?
It will be a robotic penis, but it will seem like it's a regular fleshy human penis.
So you're going to... Okay, alright, so you're going to go behind this robot...
Go behind the machine.
...disappear.
Yep.
And then a fleshy-looking penis is going
to... That will appear.
Through the hole.
When I switch the machine on.
Okay, yeah. And that'll be the real robotic penis.
But you won't see me for the duration of your sexual
encounter. So you've made this sort of, like, robotic penis look really realistic.
It's really realistic. You will not be able to tell the difference between, say, the robot one and mine, for instance. You
okay, well, I don't want to see yours.
No, it's absolutely not.
Because I've not come out here to have sex with a person.
I know, you've come out to test the machine.
Yeah,
that is exactly what you're going to get. Okay, mechanical action. But what I know is the idea that on the front, maybe he's painted a picture of a robot's face.
Yeah.
And then when the machine begins, you know, rather like, you know, one of those horror houses, like a kind of mansion in a spooky film, the eyes of the painting, they'll move.
And the real eyes
will appear, just staring out. But I don't think I can have sex with this machine unless you're actually in the room, so in case anything goes wrong.
No.
Don't worry, I'll be behind the machine, it'll be fine. It'll be safe, not a problem.
Okay.
But anyway, so yeah, Paul the Party Animal Parker sent that in, and knowing him, there'll be plenty more coming like that in future weeks.
Carl, what do you think about that?
Machines and that?
Yeah.
Well, they've always been sort of, I mean, to a lot of people, sex is important, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Not to you?
Well, it serves a purpose.
what purpose?
No,
because you don't want to have kids, so what purpose?
You know.
Something to do in the evening.
Something to do, innit?
When the telly's broke.
But for years, like, they've found stuff, haven't they? Machines from, like, Roman times, that similar to that setup.
No machines in Roman times.
Like that, though. The old sort of knob on a stick machine thing.
The old Roman knob on a stick. I'm sorry, but I watch Train Team every week, and Tony Robinson has never done that. An old knob on a stick machine.
I just think of Julius Caesar sitting down and go, okay, Aqueduct, we love that. Yeah. Thanks for that. Straight roads, good idea. We can see the enemy coming. Yeah. What have you got there?
Well, I'm glad you've asked.
Plonticus. What have you got there? Wanklicus.
What I've got here is a yieldy knob. And I've put that on the end of a stick.
Oh, a stick of smallus. Okay, well done, Wanklicus.
No.
Yeah. Well done, you are my new right-hand man, as they say.
No, excellent. But they do stuff like that. You've been in the London Museum and that, and they've got sort of sex stuff from years ago. They've got, like, these metal pants that they used to wear.
metal pants?
Yeah, sort of
is
metal.
That a chastity belt, you mean? They used to make women wear them so that they
could...
They had them for blokes as well, though.
Metal pants for blokes. Yeah. Why?
So if he was away, he couldn't play away from home, and if he was away, she popped on a little.
No, I just think they sort of like sexy metal pants.
Well, I don't know what you mean.
What are you
sexy metal pants?
Well, they'll have to look because they haven't got it in front of me. It's just something I remember seeing, some sort of sexy metal pants that I used to wear.
But what are you saying, sexy metal pants?
Well, that was not British Museum. That was Soho.
No, what I mean.
That was on Compton Street. You were looking at the shop window.
They always had to be ready for like battle and that, but these were a little bit sexy. But protective at the same time.
I love that.
That's all you remember from the British Museum.
So Lancelot, are you ready to face the Black Knight? Yeah. Just, what do you think of these? Huh? What do you think of these?
Well, I don't really care. Just, you know.
I just want to look good on the battlefield.
Well, they're both protective.
Will there be women watching, cheering us on?
Well, you're not going to fight like that, are you? What about with your chest?
I'm going to wear nothing except these sexy metal pants.
But what about your chest is exposed?
No, it's a good chest. I'll be working out.
Yeah, I know, but what I mean is
I've actually been lifting up the round table every week. I just work out, do that about 4 times a day.
But that machine, right, why, did it have to be a woman, or could they have got a little gay fella in?
I don't know.
Let me just check. it doesn't actually specify the small print here.
I love that. Why do you want to see a little gay fella be...
I don't want to see it. I'm just saying they're sort of more...
Why do you want to watch a gay man get buggered by a robot?
I wasn't the one typing in gay machines on the internet, finding stuff out about
it. It's not a gay machine! You just made it into a game machine.
Yeah. He wanted to pleasure women with this machine. Oh. You're saying, can I see a little gay fellow get a robotic cock up his arse? You're the one requesting that, Carl Pilkington.
I don't want that. I'm just saying that.
You're the one that wants to see gay men with metal stuff up their arnus.
No, what I'm saying is they're more up for a bit more experimentation than...
What are you saying? Why is that the case?
Why? Why'd you say that?
No, just, you know... Butt plugs and that. I mean, what I'm saying is...
What, you can't just say butt plugs and that.
I'm just saying that they... I reckon they'd be up for it.
What do you know about butt plugs?
I don't know anything about them. I just remember seeing an advert for some once in a sex shop.
What are you doing?
No, I wasn't. I was just walking past. I was walking past the sex shop and that.
Mm.
And you're looking.
Why were you walking past a sex shop?
Just because I was on the way to work and that, and I passed one, and there was a little sort of... One, it was open early, which I never understood, right? It was about 8 o'clock in the morning, right?
Who's rushing out?
Who needs them now, right? Yeah. But I must get
a bagel and some poppers on the way to work.
But I walked past it, and it had like a little post-it note, or postcard type thing, and it was like, pop in now, buy an item, chuck in some free butt plugs. And I didn't know what they for, I'd never heard of them before. But all I'm saying is, I've since found out what they do with them.
And if they do that with them, then
give them a go on that.
I had another email here. This is they haven't given their name actually, but they it's an interesting fact. I'm hoping it's true. America's first nudist organisation apparently was founded in 1929 by three men. Now, what intrigued me when I read that is the fact that it's clearly three blokes just trying to meet some nude women.
They're all 52, balding.
Exactly.
With little, sort of gold-rimmed glasses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're just wandering around, and it's all quite saggy down there, and they're just knocking on doors saying, we just set up an organisation, it's perfectly above board, completely legitimate, it's a nudist organisation. You got any women in there that want to come and join us?
Why not, really?
Any female members at the moment? Got any women in there interested in, you know, volleyball or trampoline?
I can't be dealing with it, me.
You hate nudists, don't you?
Nudists. I don't understand what it's all about at the end of the day. And here's something, right? Do you know, like, when you're a bloke nudist, right? Do you ever get any who just have, like, a small knob?
I don't know. I don't understand the question.
What's your point?
Well, you know, are there any blokes who are knocking about who just have a normal-sized knob or maybe a bit smaller than normal, who are happy wandering about showing off what they haven't got, if you know what I mean?
I don't think nudists just do it because they're so proud of their knob.
No, but there's got to be a little bit of that in it, hasn't there?
Why?
Say, Jonathan Ross, right? He's nipped to see you now and again and what have you.
He's what?
He sort of nipped in to see you now and again. He's always happy getting his knob out because he's known to have this big knob, right?
Why is Jonathan Ross known to have this big knob?
No, he just talks about it a lot, doesn't he? He's always saying about, oh, you know, but you'd like this, wouldn't you?
I'm known for being a great lover. I say it a lot. It's clearly not the case. What evidence have you got that he's got a big knob?
No, but the difference is he's happy to keep getting it out. It's different sort of me walking about going, oh, I've got a big one and all that, but no one ever sees it. But Jonathan sort of, he's always getting it out, isn't he?
Have you seen him get it out before?
He did get it out, but I wasn't looking.
What do you mean you weren't looking? How do you know it was out?
Just because he sort of was moving it about and that, and I could sort of see. No, I wasn't looking though. It was that sort of thing where you can see something moving about, but you're like, I'm not looking at it.
What, like an owl seeing a mouse?
It doesn't matter. All I'm saying is.
So no, let's get back to this. You remembering vividly Jonathan Ross's penis?
No. I don't mean that.
Why were you looking at his penis?
I wasn't looking, though.
Well, it was clearly not meant to be looked at.
I'm just saying, most blokes who, you know, nudists, they must be pretty confident in themselves to, you know, getting it out. And I wasn't looking, it's just that, I mean, I looked once.
Okay, what was it like?
Sorry, you looked at Jonathan's once?
No, I was looking at another one.
What?
Why
are you looking at loads of men's penises? Where are you going with this?
It's natural, that's what I'm saying.
What do you mean? Carl takes a sneaky look at menscocks.com?
No, what I'm saying is, it's natural.
Where is this happening? You're in a gym.
No.
A lot of guys are getting changed and you're just checking
You're at your bedroom window with a pair of binoculars and there was a little fella across the road getting changed.
I was at some night out once.
Go on.
So you were at heaven and you were in the toilet.
It was some night out and some people come running on the stage, right? Some music started coming on and these four people ran out. It was two women.
So you were at a gay strip club?
It wasn't gay in that. It was just a normal night out. Well, you know, some sort of party night out. Right. These people come running on, right? You got two women, you got two blokes.
Right.
They whip the knickers off, the fellas whip their undies off.
At the same time?
Yeah, all at the same time.
Was it like a choreographed thing?
Like, what's it?
Chippendales.
No, like Cheryl Baker was in it. It was that thing where they sort of, you know, on Eurovision Song Contest.
Oh, making your mind up? Yeah. When Buck's fizz ripped off a larger skirt, concealing a smaller skirt. At no point did Buck's fizz whip their knickers and pants off.
When you said Cheryl Baker was in it, I was thinking, what, didn't she used to host Record Breakers? I don't remember that. On BBC One.
So that happened, and all I'm saying is, right, before I had a look at the woman's bits, right, I just had a little cheeky glance at the fellas.
Why?
Just checking it out, just seeing is everything normal down
Why
there.
Why weren't your eyes drawn instantly to the ladies' bits?
Believe me, I had a look at that. All I'm saying is...
But you went to the guys first.
Just I didn't know how long pants were going to be left off for.
So you didn't want to miss your opportunity, is what you're saying? You saw a window of opportunity to see some men's bits and you thought, I better take it.
No,
because this may never happen again.
No.
So what happened? So there's two women, two men, right? I don't know what sort of event this is where you're looking at anyone get their knickers and pants off. I don't know why you're looking at all. So you go right. There's knickers and pants off. Right. Let's check out the knob and testicles first.
You're telling me you've never, like, when you've been in a gym or anything, you've not just sort of turned your head, had a look, and go, all right, yeah, that's all right. Yeah.
Been in a sorry. Let's just get this question right. Have we ever been in a gym and just taken a sneaky glance at a man's genitals? Is that your question to us?
Right. For me, it's the same as when you see someone who's a bit odd, two heads or whatever.
Well, I'll be honest. If I was in a gym and a bloke came in with two heads, I'd look. I'd get a sneaky glance in the mirror. I'd go...
Sorry, but you'd look at his genitals or his two heads?
His two heads!
Or would you sneaky look at the heads and then think, I wonder if he's got two cocks and just...
I don't try to look there. If I'll tell you what, and now I admit it. If I'm ever in a gym and a naked man with two heads walks in, I probably will check out the genitals as well, just to make sure that he's got two of everything.
Can I tell you the thing that always freaks me out? I do sometimes go to the gym, and I live in North London, and the thing that always freaks me out is if there's an elderly man, often quite short, and I say this only so you can picture something in your mind's eye, you know, because I live in North London, there's quite a lot of old elderly Jewish gentlemen, wandering around. And I'm always freaked out because there's at least two I'm aware of who've got very, very large penises. And I always find that really disturbing, because sometimes you can't help but notice, because it's like Godzilla coming through the change room. Do you know what I mean? And it's swinging there, and it never seems right that he's an old guy, you know, he's kind of a little overweight, quite short, and he's got a massive piece of action going on between his legs. And I always get, dare I say it, a little bit jealous. Because for a tall man, I feel I've been a little bit shortchanged.
Oh, wow.
So that, I do admit, that's the only instance where my eye has been naturally drawn to it.
Do you know what annoys me in gyms? Where people walk round happily naked all the time, whistling. Yeah. They get weighed naked, pop a towel on and take off 3 ounces.
How exact have those measurements got to be?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Pop a towel on. I mean, unless you're going on the space shuttle, I reckon you could give or take a couple of stone. Yeah,
Exactly. Absolutely right. Well, we've put that to bed.
The Ricky Gervais Show on Guardian Unlimited.
Right, Carl. Go on. It's that time again. You better be ready.
Oh, chimpanzee! That monkey news.
Right. Well, this week, what we covering is, do you know, like they say, monkeys are pretty close to humans.
Well, when you say monkeys, you mean apes, I assume, and when you say apes, you mean chimpanzees.
Monkeys and that.
Well, no, because they're different species. They're all primates.
They've done a lot of tests and that. Like I said, you know, we've talked about the one that went into space.
That was
rubbish.
We've
had ones that have worked in train stations.
No.
So Barbara, was there a Barbara one?
There was a Barbara one. He started off sweeping, didn't he? But he didn't immediately go in.
Strange, but he worked his way up, yeah.
Apprenticeship.
They do a lot of stuff.
I've seen the salon. He was probably the top student.
But the thing is, in a way, this is linked to the one in the salon. He could cut air, but he'd never be allowed to work on the till, right? But these tests that they've been doing now...
Why? Are they not trustworthy?
Well, they've had problems understanding money, right? But they've got one recently that they've been teaching about the value of money. And showing it that, you know, to get this money, you've got to work hard, you've got to save your money, Mm. And when it's saved
up, nice little bollocks.
You can do what you want with that money.
Yeah, it wouldn't
but
happen.
At the end of the day, these monkeys aren't on that much money.
Yeah, so, and they wouldn't. They you could never. So, you could never teach a monkey the value of money.
So the thing is, they've said to these monkeys, look, you know, there's your money.
They haven't said anything
you're
to the monkeys.
So
they have,
money.
Rick. Please listen to the news.
But
it's the news.
It's important that, you know, they know how to spend that money, right? It's basic rules, really. It's what you teach a human about money, isn't it? It's what you teach kids about
money. So invest
money,
wisely.
Invest and all that.
So who's teaching these monkeys? Well, Carl, stop.
Just some people and that.
But who? Where are these monkeys?
The monkey people.
But where are these monkeys? Where are these monkeys being...
I think it's in San Francisco.
What is? Well, where are these monkeys, though? What are they in the shop? What are they doing? Are they in homes? What are they doing?
Just
in the zoo?
Well, probably just in, like, some sort of science place where science people are checking out monkeys' brains and that and seeing how they work. But they're happy, they're not cutting
This is different
that.
To the news at 10.
So listen.
Well,
so
yeah, but you can't interrupt the newscasters for one thing, Rick. Please.
Sorry, go on.
So, there's these monkeys, right, and they've given them some money, probably about £5. And they said, right, off you go. Go shopping. See who comes back with the best, sort of, how much can you get? You know, like in...
Ready, steady, cook.
Where they say, there's a fiver. And get some food. Anyway, some came back and they were like, you know, they had anything.
This is absolute shit.
No, listen. Listen.
But one of them, right, he was away longer, to be fair.
Yeah.
Right, I think he came back last. But they were really impressed because he sort of said, this is amazing that you've got all this. Can't believe it. Give us the receipt, right?
Oh, this is absolute
No, listen.
Hang on a minute, right? So they said, give us the receipt and that, and they looked at it, and it was all official, right? And they went through it all, and what they were really impressed by is the way that they always went for the sort of slightly older veg, where you get two lots for the price of one.
Right, you're absolutely...
And it just goes to show,
this
right?
This is absolute that, bollocks. There's no
then,
way. There's
gonna,
no way a chimp went
it's
shopping
not,
and knew what he was buying. It's
I don't
absolute,
know why he asked me then.
Well, it's absolute bollocks. Once again, you've made it up. You probably saw a headline on some sort of half-witted website and you're talking shit. Right.
Just to say, if you have any monkey news for Carl that you want to hear on one of these podcasts in future weeks, then you can email Carl, or indeed with anything, at podcast@rickygervais.com.
This podcast was hosted by Positive Internet.
Can I just ask, what does hosting mean when you, in that sense?
I don't know, but the guys at Positive Internet do, because they're experts in this field, and that's why I like them.
Well, thanks very much. Join us next time when we'll, I'm sure, waste another half hour of your lives. See ya.
Bye.
The Ricky Gervais Show on Guardian Unlimited.